Tonight, Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah 53. And we stopped off this morning in verse number 3 of chapter 53 as we looked concerning the rejection of the Lord in those first three verses. As Isaiah says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." We take up with verse number 4 tonight, or this afternoon, as we consider the sin bearing of this suffering servant. He is our sin bearer. And that's what is told us here in verse 4 down through verse number 6. He says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now this fourth psalm, which begins there in chapter 52 and verse number 13, describing this work of the Lord, this whole psalm is in reference to his suffering for us, particularly at the hands of his Father, in the wrath of God being poured out upon him, and he as our substitute. And then not only the wrath that he would endure for us, but the satisfaction of the holiness of God, and God's satisfaction, his holiness being satisfied, that righteousness, that salvation then being transferred to us in Christ Jesus, this work, he as our substitute. And so we find particularly here in verses 4 through 6, we find him being our sin bearer. He carried our griefs and our sorrows. We read in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. We see here in verse number 15, a very familiar verse concerning the work of the Lord Jesus for us, and his description here as our great high priest and what he accomplishes for us as our priest. And he says here concerning him, verse 14 as well, he says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Christ Jesus our Lord, he bore our griefs, he bore our sorrows there on the cross," as is described for us there in verse number 4, "but there was no sin in him." There was no sin whatsoever in him. He was sinless. Now this is a problem today, especially. It's always been throughout Christian history over these last 2,000 years. There's always been a group. There's always been those folks that are outlying, that are trying to declare the humanity of Christ, and let me be clear, Jesus was all man. At the same time, he was all God. But there are those that focus so much on his humanity that they try to remove his deity from him, and in so doing tried to claim that Jesus could have sinned. No, God doesn't sin. And there was never a time in Jesus' life when he was here present in flesh, there was never a time that he was only man and not God. From the time he was conceived in the womb, he was God in flesh. When he was born in a manger, he was God in flesh. Throughout his childhood, throughout his life, he was God in flesh. When he began his ministry at the age of 30, he was God in flesh. He lived a full life for those 33 years, God-man. He was all God and all man at the same time. There was never a time, even at his death, while he hung on the cross, there was never a time where the deity left him. He was all God and all man throughout. He remains the same, you see. He does not change. So there, because of this, there is no sin that entered into, though he was tempted because he was in flesh. He was tempted like as we are, as Paul points out there, yet without sin. He was tempted like we are, but sin never entered into him. He never committed a sin. He never failed because he is God, you see. And so he did not sin. He could not sin. Okay, now there are those that say he could have sinned. And no, he could not. He is the immutable God. That has not changed. Then there are those that say, well, maybe he did sin. If Jesus sinned, if he in any place failed the law of God, then you and I are still lost in our sins. Because if he sinned at all, even in the smallest thing, if the Lord Jesus sinned, then he was not the sacrifice for our sins. Doesn't matter if he died on the cross or not. There are people died on the cross all the time. That didn't mean anything. It only meant something when the right one died on the cross. And that was the one without sin, the sin bearer, you see. He did not sin. If he sinned, we are lost and undone, and we have no hope of eternal life. Jesus did not sin. He was perfectly sinless. There was no sin in him at all. The sin that he bore on the cross. Now, he had sin on him when he was there on the cross. The Bible tells us that in many different places. He had sin on him, but it was not his sin. It was mine. It was yours. He bore our sin for us. He was our substitute on that cross. And it wasn't just the nature of our sin. There are those that say, well, he just took the nature of our sin. No. No, he didn't do that. He didn't do just that. He died for the nature of our sin. But he died for our individual sin. Every last one of them, he bore them to that cross. My past, my present, and my future sins. My Lord paid for them all. He bore them all for me on that cross of Calvary. He is my sin bearer. He took them all from me, you see. And so there was no sin in him whatsoever. Yet he bore sin. He carried our sin there on the cross for us. Surely He hath borne our griefs and our sorrows, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The great truth in this song is what the Jews realized but did not see the full meaning of. They believed God carried out just reward on Jesus when He was crucified. They believed God carried out just reward on Him because of His so-called blasphemy, because they accused Him of blasphemy because He said He was God. Well, guess what? That's who He was. That's who He was. He wasn't blaspheming. He was declaring the truth concerning Himself. But they claim, well, finally, just reward is carried out on Him. And this God has got just reward because of His so-called blasphemy. Go over to Luke chapter 23 and look there in verse number 35. Luke 23 and verse number 35. It says, "And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He be Christ, the chosen of God." What they did not recognize was He indeed received just punishment. He indeed received just reward, but it was not for His sin. It was for ours. It was for the sins of His people that He endured and suffered this punishment that He received at the hands of His Father. Verse 5, He goes on to say, verse 4 again, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions." It wasn't for ours, or it wasn't for His rather, it was for ours. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. This is not talking about what many televangelists preach and teach today, that no true child of God will ever be sick or ever be poor. That's a bunch of garbage. I mean, just absolute garbage. That they try, they have the prosperity gospel, and that's not a gospel at all. That they are teaching people today, and there are millions that have been fooled by this heresy that is being spread throughout the world, and people losing their faith in God because they did not get a healing that they thought they ought to get, or they did not get the money that they thought they ought to get, and they focus on their, and that's all that's being focused on is the here and now, the best life now junk that people say, the famous book that was written by Joel Osteen, "Your Best Life Now." This is not my best life now. My best life is yet to come in the presence of my Lord. I'm not to be concerned about this life. I'm to be concerned about that one to come. That's where my heart, that's where my mind should be fixed, not upon the best life here. It should be on what I have in store in the presence of my Lord. That's where my mind should be and my heart should be. And so this prosperity preaching that's going on in the world today, they focus, many of them focus on this one verse here and point to that and try to declare, well, but see right there, he because Jesus died, then we don't have to be sick anymore. Well, tell that to Apostle Paul. Paul was sick and he prayed, Lord, take it from me. Lord, take this from me. He said three times I prayed to him that he'd take that from me. And the Lord told him, no. No, Paul, I'm not taking that from you. Because my glory is shown, my glory is displayed in your weakness. Then Paul changed his mind about it. He said, I'd rather glory then in my infirmities. That the power of Christ might be seen through me. God never promised to take away all of our earthly pains. In fact, it's just the opposite. He promised that we would endure those things. He promised we'd have to have those things in this life. Because that's a part of living in this world that we do not belong in. That we are simply pilgrims and strangers in passing through. This is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. This is not what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to Christ. That is where, when we at last come into His presence, that's when there will be no more sickness, no more stress, no more troubles, no more problems. That's when all those things are wiped away. So what is He in reference to here? What is He in reference to here in verse number 5? If indeed He removed all of our sicknesses in this life, and there would never be any more poor, that all God's people would be rich. Then there would be no more curse. And yet this world's still cursed. Nothing's changed about that. Even the televangelists have to work. They get colds just like you and I do. They have those same sicknesses as well. Jesus didn't bear those sicknesses and diseases of the flesh, but rather He bore the disease of sin for His people. And that's what we are delivered from. We're delivered from sin. He is our sin bearer. By His stripes we are healed. By His stripes we are healed. In His death, He became our substitute. His death was our propitiation. He is our peace. His wounding and His suffering were not a possibility, but a certainty. A certainty. The salvation of His people is a certainty because He paid for every last one of our sins. Certainty. That which my Lord paid for, every last one of His sheep He will get. He'll not miss any of them. Every last one. He took our place. He became, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 tells us, He became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He became sin for us. He took the righteous and just punishment from God for us. He was bruised, He says here, or that word bruised means crushed. He was crushed for our iniquities. And He wasn't just bearing mine. I can't bear my own. You can't bear your own. But the Lord Jesus bore all of ours. And He bore it all at the same time. And suffered the punishment for all of it at the same time. In those 3 hours of darkness, our Lord endured that punishment, that righteous and just punishment from the holiness of God for us. And He was crushed that you and I might be forgiven. He does not want your sympathy. He does not need your defense. Jesus did not die as a martyr for the faith. Martyrs die in triumph with the Lord by their side, strengthening them, giving them the words to declare. They rejoice at His presence. You can read those stories over and over again about the saints, dear saints of God, that have suffered death for the Lord, and they're rejoicing at the time of their death because of the presence of the Lord with them. They rejoice that they can be used for His glory. And all of them of record proclaim the presence of the Lord at their death. Well, as Stephen said, the first martyr, by the way, what did he say? I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Our Lord didn't die like that. He died alone. He died in darkness because He was bearing my sin. Because He was bearing your sin. I don't know how to explain all of that. It's what He declared when He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But He bore it Himself and paid the penalty for us. Suffering our judgment and the wrath of God for us. He was holy and completely alone in the sense of this bearing our sin as He died for our iniquity. Verse 5 is that pure gospel of Christ Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. That's the good news. That's the good news. That which I deserve, my Lord has taken for me. And in return, given to me that which He deserved. That's wondrous. Absolutely wondrous. That is, again, the pure gospel of Christ Jesus. Verse 6, he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This verse here focuses on who He died for. His sheep. His sheep. He didn't die for any goats. As I've said before, there's never been a time when a goat turned into a sheep. goats remain the goats, the sheep remain the sheep. And the Lord Jesus knows all of his sheep. Now, there are found sheep that are brought into the sheepfold, and there are lost sheep. And he says, I go and find them. I go and find them. He knows where they're at. He's just going to bring them all back, just as he declared. And so this verse here, verse number 6, focuses on the reality of who he died for. Again, either those in the fold or those that are lost yet to be brought in. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. There was a time when every last one of us were lost from the fold. There was a time when we were separated from Him. There was a time when we were out in the world, sold under sin, and the Lord Jesus came and found us where we were at and brought us to Himself and put us in the fold there. When that salvation that He purchased for us 2,000 years ago was made known to us in His day of grace. When He declared, you're mine. Come on. You're mine. He died for His sheep. We find in this verse two things. First of all, depravity is universal. Depravity is universal among the goats and the sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. Depravity is universal. We are all born sinners, every last one of us. All of us are born estranged from God because of sin. Everyone has turned their own way. And yes, we inherit it as well. We inherit that sin nature through Adam, as Paul reminds us of there in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, when he tells us here in this passage, he says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That sin nature is on all of us. We've all are born sinners. We've all gone our own way, choosing sin, which makes all of us responsible and guilty before God for our sin. And so we see depravity is universal. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse number 23 tells us. So depravity is universal. The second thing we see is not only is depravity universal, we see that it is only in Christ that we are redeemed. Only in Him are we redeemed. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The word iniquity is speaking here of the whole sum of the sin of His people laid upon Him. Thereby being paid by Him. Setting us free from the guilt. Setting us free from the shame. Setting us free from the responsibility. Setting us free from the punishment. He takes it all from us. Our sin was completely imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of it was imputed to Him. That which He did not do, He bore for us. And in turn, His righteousness is imputed to us. And we are made before God, justified. in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in that justification before the throne of God, we are made before God just as if we have never sinned. That's how God sees you and I. Now I know better. I know I've sinned. I know I've failed. I know the results of my sin. I know what problems, I know what consequences my sin has brought to me. I can see those things. I still feel the guilt and the shame of those things. That reality is real in me. I know that. I hate how I have failed my God. I hate the sin that's been in me and is in me. I hate those things. But before the throne of God, when God looks at me, He does not see my guilt. He does not see my shame. He does not see the ravages of sin upon me. He does not see the consequences there. He does not see those things. What He sees instead is Christ Jesus, my Lord. He is my substitute. My substitute. He took my place, took my sin upon Him, and by His stripes, I'm healed. What a glorious service our King has performed for us. That you and I might be saved. And He would bear for us this iniquity. That it would never again be remembered before the throne of God. He said, I will cast your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. They never meet. You can go east and keep going east, and guess what? You'll never get to west. You go west and you continue west and continue west and continue west, and you never catch up with the east. He's cast our sin that far from us that it is never to be remembered. It's done. It's gone. It's finished in the payment of the Lord Jesus for us. He was crushed. He was crushed that we might be healed. Oh, what a Savior. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed today.